Today, we're joined by someone whose talents live right at the crossroads of mystery and the unexplained. He's amazed audiences nationwide. He's appeared on Penn and Teller and has been mystifying his way across the country. But today, he is here on Macabre Mondays to tell us some spooky stories and also to read your mind. Yes, listeners, he's going to read your mind. In fact, he kind of already knew that you wanted him on the show. So that's actually why he's here today. So make sure you stay tuned until the end of the episode because you won't want to miss it. He's known as the world's greatest mind reader. Please welcome everybody, the Midwest mystic himself, Joe Diamond. Joe Diamond.
It's Joe Diamond, the mind reader guy.
Joe.
Okay, first of all, you've now compared me to our patron saint, Bill Nye.
That is
honor. In many ways, I am the in some ways, I am the opposite of Bill Nye. Maybe not, ironically, spiritually, because I loved Bill Nye, but we don't have to get into it, but as we mentioned when we chatted in the pre-interview, 12 years of Baptist school, so I was not allowed to watch Bill Nye because it taught evolution.
Really? Wow, stop.
So as soon as I could watch it on streaming, I watched all the episodes. I watched a few here and there, of course, because it was just ingrained in the culture and stuff. I don't think I've ever disagreed with Bill Nye on anything. He'd probably disagree with me, but that's okay.
It's okay.
I am but a mere mortal.
when we started randomly, we were like, Joe's like, no, not Bill Nye, but Tom was like, Joe Diamond, the mind reader guy. We're like, Joe. It just came so naturally. We're like, that's it. This is his theme song. That's how it is moving forward. It doesn't matter.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Thank you for coming on today's show. We are so excited
thank
to
you
have
for having
you
me.
Today. Yes, thank you so much. And for anyone who hasn't had the pleasure of crossing paths with you just yet, how do you usually introduce yourself?
So my name is Joe Diamond. I'm from the Midwest. I live literally right between Chicago and Milwaukee, like right on the Wisconsin-Illinois border. And I do shows all over the Midwest and beyond. Some call me a mind reader or, you know, a mentalist, mystic, psychic. I'm not a medium. I'm a large. That's the joke I say in every show. It's my wife's favorite, so I have to. Growing up, I had interest in all sorts of the strange and mysterious, everything from, you know, the Twilight Zone to ghost stories to magic to giving, like, my great grandmother taught me how to give readings with playing cards, like tarot cards.
Oh, that's awesome.
And 12 years of Baptist school being told, oh, all this stuff, be careful. It just made me want to do it all more.
Right.
And it has turned into a full-time career. So for lack of a better term, elevator pitch I tell people is I do a weekly show at the Maxwell Mansion in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. Lake Geneva is the home of Gary Gygax, the creator of Dungeons and Dragons. It's got a history of various hauntings and a lake monster and all that stuff. But it's kind of become like a Midwestern version of the Hamptons, kind of. People escape there, mostly in the summer, of course, but there's a huge winter fest year round and everything. And the Maxwell Mansion has great history to it. I do a weekly show there throughout the year where people, it's called Psychic Parlor. We're doing a different show for Halloween, but the way I describe it is instead of like a magician standing on stage and pulling rabbits out of hats, I stand on stage and pull thoughts out of your mind. I'll tell people, you know, what number they're thinking of or names of people they know and various other strange and unusual occurrences happen during the show.
Yeah, I thought that was so cool. I mean, you did do some mind tricks on us before, and I was absolutely mind boggled, pun intended. And
that's what I'm going for. There we go.
Yeah,
you think I'm offended by puns? Oh, let me tell you right now. I said that was my wife's favorite joke. Literally, like at our first or second date, she was like, oh, I love puns. I'm like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah, I really do. And I just went, are you sure? And she's been paying the price ever since. I am not the deep I assume everyone listening has already found out, like, oh, he's not, you know, Mr., you know, Svengali trying to, like, you know, hypnotize us or anything like that. No, I am as dorky as if all four Ghostbusters had a kid. So, like,
I love that. That's a great example to picture you for the listeners who aren't watching. Yes, I love that. Yeah. That's great. And you know, I saw a video where you said, I think it was on the Penn and Teller show, you compared yourself as the mystic James Gordon, I think it was.
Yeah. There was a line where I had to talk to both Penn and Teller, and we talked about this a little bit, and if people want to watch it, they actually are huge, huge skeptics of psychics, paranormal, and they very much do not like mentalists, psychics. They haven't had a lot on their shows, and it's probably why it took so long for me to get on the show, but they actually said this is the kind of mentalism we really love, and part of that was because I've been fans of them forever. So I really did, like, while putting it together, get inside their heads to be like, oh, what kind of, like, you know, stuff would they be thinking about this? And that originally had an expletive in the script, but saying that with metaphysical James Gordon just became a mouthful. And I was like, it's going to get bleeped anyway. So, like, let's just not make myself more nervous on Las Vegas's biggest stage and all that. So
for sure.
But yeah, that was so there's, again, like, I try to just be who I am, which is, you know, I'm just a guy. I'll admit,
just a guy.
I have all these weird. Ever since I was a kid, I've had all these weird interests. And my late mom, she always told the story. I was in like first or second grade. I had been reading a book the night before, and it mentioned something about dry ice, and I was like, oh, well, maybe that would make our food soggy in the cooler. You know, I'm one. I don't know how, like, dry ice, it's gonna burn you. Like, you know, I don't realize that yet. So I was like, I'll have to think about that. And apparently I didn't wait a second. My mom wasn't even to the coffee pot in the morning when I said, hey, mom, do you know how to make dry ice? And she was like, her hand was on the coffee handle. She just looked at me, her only child, and just was like, no, Joey. I'm still that kid of just like wondering about how stuff really works, how and also, like, you know, coming to terms with, you know, I love science, and I make sure to use as much skepticism and practicality in my work as possible, but also there are things I can't explain. There's things I don't want to explain. And I don't want to put any of that on anyone else. I want to give them a mystery and have them make of it what they will. So like a more traditional magician would use, like, sleight of hand. I'm using, you know, some psychology, a lot of intuition. And there are times where I even don't know how it's going to go. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And especially in, like, certain haunted locations we can get into. But that's part of the fun of it for me, like, is interacting. To me, it's about the people and the interaction with the people. And trying to come up with, going back to Twilight Zones, I try to think of it as, if this was a Twilight Zone episode, we'd be following the people into the mansion. We'd be following an audience member, not the performer. So it's my job to give the real main character, the audience members, their real life Twilight Zone experience.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's just really about the experience in itself, and just kind of, you know, just, I mean, that's what makes what you do so much fun as well, because, like you said, you're not entirely sure how it's even going to go. Sometimes it'll go even better than you expected, and then you end up with a bar.
That's, again, semi by design, but also just part of the nature of working with people. It's kind of like improv too. You know? There are some, like, I think that's another better way to explain it. Improvisers, they will have their go-to, for lack of a better term, games, structures, maybe characters. They don't know the scene, but they know they're going to play. Oh, there needs to be a dad in this character. I'll use the dad character for this or whatever. Right. They'll have, you know, for lack of a better term, a utility belt, I guess is the better way to put it, tools. And but yeah, you never know what an audience is going to say. You don't know what your you know, co-player is going to say.
Right.
You know, they may set you up for the perfect thing. And then you just hit it out of the park. And there will be some nights where it's like, yep, that was a game and we got through it.
You're like, whoo, sweat off my back.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, yep,
no, that's so funny. Well, I mean, seeing, I know you were saying that you were a Baptist for 12 years, I think it said, you said, right? How did your family kind of react to you? Like, I knew they knew, you were saying that they knew this is kind of who you were as a kid, but how do they react knowing that this was like the profession you were going into? I'm always so curious to hear that.
Across the board, for sure. There was, so I was semi-lucky in that when I was 17, like those David Blaine Street Magic shows had gotten really popular. And I was hired by Six Flags Great America, a theme park just north of Chicago.
That's awesome.
To basically to walk around the park and show people magic. Now, my audition, I did one mind reading thing and one, I did, I bent some spoons and stuff. I grew up watching Uri Geller and learned how to do that stuff. So I had done I was into like some more traditional magic, but I liked the weirder stuff. And from one of the other performers there who had a background in sideshow, they taught me how to hammer a nail in my nose. I learned with someone else and they taught me another way to do it that was actually safer so I could do it more. That was years later. But yeah, but I, by the end of that first summer, I was literally just like doing mind reading and palm readings because that's just what people were responding to the most. And so I was already making a career of this going into my senior year of high school.
Wow.
I just found it because we've been going through a lot of my mom's things, my dad and I. The first thing I got for my mom's birthday were tickets to Bob Newhart, her favorite comedian. He was coming to town. And they, even by today's standards, this is 20 years ago now. 20 years ago. They weren't cheap. Like I had to set aside like two whole paychecks for them. But I remember she was so excited. So like in my mind, like at that point I had made it. I just need to keep doing this, you know, but because there's, and to be fair, because there's no insurance in the job. I mean, there was at Six Flags, but like when I started, you know, working for myself, doing house parties, corporate events.
Right.
There were some family members who just plainly did not get it. And I think to a certain extent still don't.
Yeah.
There were like my one grandmother, the more known I was come, the more she talked about like how she was into tarot cards when she was younger.
Aww.
And how she kind of taught me some stuff. She was like more and more open with it. It was always the thing she kind of kept like, you know,
it's like taboo, you know, almost
closer to the vest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but of course the more I did it and was in the local paper for it or the news,
right,
or, all that stuff, it's, you know, and that was on my mom's side and my dad's side. My grandmother took me aside a week before I graduated and said, this isn't a sustainable career. which I shouldn't throw my cousin under the bus for this, but I kind of feel, because my one cousin, she went to school twice for doing watercolors. It's like, okay, she's an artist, but she didn't get this talk. Like,
you
know, there's, I have a, and again, I'm not mad at my cousin for that, of course. As the years went on, my grandmother got it a little bit more. My dad, especially, it's really hard because you just don't know how to be supportive. And even thinking back, like, yeah, I don't know. I don't have any suggestions to go back in time and be like, do this differently, please, family.
Right, right.
So,
I'd appreciate
so yeah. So
it.
I,
yeah.
maybe to my parents, like, hey, maybe send me to a real school so I can develop actual social skills sooner. You know, that's a whole other can of worms.
Right, right.
But yeah, I do feel like, well, and then my one uncle, like, I have been, you know, again, making my full-time career with this.
Right.
My wife works in, she's a finance analyst. She's a history, biology, wow, double major. She's one of the most intelligent people I know. And we, you know, not to be gauche, but we're okay. I make with my work about the same and some years more than her. So we have a very, very comfortable combined income.
Yeah.
And she gets us the insurance, which, you know, I don't have to pay for out of my own pocket before, like I did before we were married. But yeah, but like, again, like, right, every year, everything kept growing. And so I never felt like, oh, I made it. It's like, oh, I'm doing it. Like, right, it's a journey, not a destination. And my one uncle, when I was on Foolus, he's like, congrats, Joe, you finally made it. And I just wanted to like grab him and be like, okay, look at the paycheck. It was a lot to do 10 minutes on stage, but not a lot for 4 months of writing and working. Like, right. Like I could not have lived on that for 4 months. And yes, I've gotten lots of opportunities as a result, right, from it, but it's so, yeah, so I, and again, a lot of people don't, again, like, a lot of people get the creative and gig economy, yes, now, but even in that realm, it's like, you do what?
Yeah, like, huh, that's a career. Yes, yes.
You will go to people's house and just tell them what they already know, like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, basically.
That's so funny. I feel like it's so relatable as well. I mean, I'm a creative and stuff. So with my family, mm-hmm, I feel like half the time, I feel like even with Tom's family, half the time they have no idea what we're doing. So it's just kind of, yeah, like a thing where it's like, but we're doing it, right? Like, we're, yeah, making it, we're, yeah, making it work.
And, right? And again, some family just comes to all the, yeah, shows. Also, shout out, I really won the lottery, not just with my wife, but her family. Like, my in-laws come to all my shows. They've never hit down for free tickets. They buy tickets, and they've always been really, really supportive. And yeah, so it's, I think I have a little bit of an edge because she only casually dated in college, so she never brought any boys home, like, okay, her sister. So her parents don't have anyone to compare me with.
Like, look at you.
So I'm like, oh, okay. It was a little hard at first because, again, like, it was so new.
Yeah.
But yeah, but they warmed up and they've been very, very supportive.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. Yeah, that's really great that you guys have that really solid support system from your family and hers as well. I think that's awesome. Yeah. And like, knowing that you were saying you pretty much kind of got into this because at the beginning your grandmother was kind of like teaching you how to read cards and stuff, is there anything that kind of has stuck with you, maybe something spooky along the way, that's kind of just any spooky stories from your childhood?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's thinking, he's going through his brain bank.
So, for starters, so technically I was not here for this story, but it is kind of about me.
Okay.
So my mom and dad had me, they were together 6-7 years by the time they had me.
Oh, wow.
Without going into too much detail, long story short, they were trying to get pregnant and were being unsuccessful. And the year before I was born, my grandmother, my mom's mom, said to her, oh, you know, I just had a feeling you're going to have a baby boy in December and you're going to name him David. And my mom was like, no, that's dumb because Steve's cousin's name is David. We can't name him.
We can't use the same, like, name.
Yeah, yeah. There'd, yeah, be two of them and it would be a son.
It's not original. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So my mom did get pregnant, but she lost the baby. And then my aunts had my cousin Ryan. So in December of that year. And so they were like, there was a little bit of, maybe it was the wrong daughter. I don't know.
Right.
My mom never told my dad the story. My dad never heard it.
Wow.
Got pregnant again. My mom I'm here, spoiler alert.
Yeah, the pregnancy surprise. Was successful.
What?
However, in December of that next year, she was in labor for a long time, and I was a C-section baby. So they had to put my mom under, okay. And my mom's waking up, and my dad's telling her not only it's a boy, but he named him. And my mom's groggy, and she's still like, huh? And my dad named me Joseph David. My middle name is David. And she, again, my grandma never told him the story. My mom didn't tell him. I asked my dad a couple times, like, well, you know, I was close with your cousin David, my cousin David, and, you know, it just flowed. And I was like, okay. Uh-huh. So that's like the first, like, kind of spooky, again, kind of synchronicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Story, literally from my life.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That is just odd. It's just like a weird, it's a weird coincidence. Like, okay, interesting.
Sure,
she hit the mark.
Sure.
She hit the mark with that one. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I was learning to read cards, like I would play games. I'm an only child, make up games. So I would like, the phone would ring before caller ID. And I'd say to my mom, oh, I think it's Aunt Terry. And she'd freak out because I was right. Now, my Aunt Terry called every day at 1 o'clock to gossip about all my children, my mom. So I think, again, consciously or unconsciously, you know,
right.
I guessed Aunt Terry a lot, but there were other times I didn't. And, you know, I wasn't right all the times, but enough times to kind of freak her out. So there was that. There were a couple other, like, my friends and I would, you know, there wasn't much to do. So we'd like go on like walks through, you know, the woods or cemeteries at night together by proper flashlight, not like phone flashlight. And, you know, I would do some history research on the place that we would go to and tell, you know, try to tell them about it with like a spooky story. And the ones that there, and again, there have been tons that have happened at shows, but again, I'm in an environment where I'm doing my best to, you know, allow for something to happen when things right. like truly catch me off guard. I remember I had a ghost hunting app on my phone, which is just random data collection.
Okay.
And one of them was, it would just put out random letters, just boom, 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 like a whole grid of like 10 by 10 random letters. And you're basically, you know, it's basically creating a random crossword puzzle. There's nothing meant to be in it or anything. And like a month after my grandfather died, my grandmother traveled and I was sitting in the house sitting for her while she was gone. I was sitting in my grandpa's chair and I just was like, I pulled up the app on my phone. I was like, I'll try it. I hit it. First three letters, B-O-B. My grandfather's name was Robert. My grandmother called
him. Wow.
So I was like, okay, got the message. Hang up the phone, as Alan Watts once said. I'll tease the one that happened at the Maxwell.
Yes, because I mean it's one of the most haunted mansions out there. So
yeah,
you've got to have plenty
definitely
of
in
stories.
The Midwest, if not the whole state. But yeah. It's pretty, I'm very lucky to be there. But yeah, it is one of those things where I had those feelings when I would be told a ghost story or when I was learning to read cards and, you know, those feelings of like the hair standing up on your arm when you're watching an older show like Alfred Hitchcock Presents. So all this stuff, as I look back on it, I realize it was kind of an unconscious way to make all that stuff real and happen on, you know, semi on command for people.
Joe.
Oh, did we cut out?
Are we good? Can you hear me?
We're good. Okay. Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know if I cut out. I was just saying that, you know, looking back, all those things felt like a way to make that stuff happen, you know, on
I see
command,
what you're saying.
That stuff doesn't normally happen on command.
Right, so. Right. That's so true. And now, like, how long have you been at the Maxwell Mansion now? Is it new?
Coming up on a decade.
Oh, wow.
This year is the eighth year. So we started with just having me, like, interacting with people around the mansion from certain times. Mm-hmm. And the more I did shows over the last years and started, for lack of a better term, building a following. I sound like a cult leader now. So diamondism, the flesh will fade, but the diamond is forever. I haven't thought about this.
Clearly not.
Clearly not. Hey, I've told my wife, I need a contingency plan if you die first. Yeah. you're my moral grounding. But yeah, the original owner hired me to just be there like a couple times a month in the summer months and everything. And,
okay.
Right at around then, I was doing shows, getting pretty known for doing shows in the McHenry County area in a mansion that used to belong to one of the Ringling brothers' wives, Lou Ringling. She owned a mansion in Crystal Lake.
Wow.
And that was now, at the time, they terminated the leases of all the artists a year ago, which is part of the reason why, or years ago, I should say now, which is why I'm not there anymore. But okay. I had an artist studio there. I started getting readings out of it, but then I was like, oh, I can fit a few people in here. And notice it fit exactly 13 people. So I started just doing small, selling tickets, just small intimate shows. And they were selling out like months in advance.
Wow.
And there's like a local, like Best of the Fox, Best Tacos, Best, you know, Family Fun. And there's, you know, two big theaters, one of which is the Woodstock Opera House in Woodstock, Illinois, which is where they filmed the movie Groundhog Day.
Okay.
The Opera House is the building Bill Murray jumps out of. That's also reportedly haunted. It's probably, that's definitely the most haunted location in Illinois, in my opinion.
Really?
That's the only reason why I don't say the Maxwell is the most haunted in the Midwest.
In the Midwest,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So they're normally picked for like best of live theater. They have like 400, 500 seats in each of these theaters.
Wow, big theater.
And and I'm getting listed with them as Best of the Fox for several years as one of the best. And then for like 2 years, I won the best, which I was, again, I should not have seen that. I should have seen it coming.
You
but
should
I
have. You should have. Yeah.
But I was, and they finally reached out to me and they're like, okay, you're officially beating us. You want to come do a show here?
Wow.
And I was their first solo show that sold out after lockdown, after COVID.
Right. Wow.
And that was, and right after that was when I got booked to do Penn and Teller a few, because yeah, we filmed that like a couple years ago and then it aired like a year ago. So it seems like just yesterday, like, oh, that just happened. But like, you know, these
in reality
with TV. Yeah. But so that all was kind of happening together. And that was kind of what got me the attention of the original owner of the Maxwell to do stuff up there. But he wasn't sure about doing like a ticketed event, and I didn't know how it would work either because it wasn't an area I was familiar with. So just with the draw and the year and the build and being on Fool Us, last year we eventually went from me walking around to being in a specific location so people could find me.
Okay.
But then I was there later than the bar closed, like to get through everyone, because it was just one of the smaller rooms. So then we had sign-up sheets, and they were filled at, like, I would start at 8 o'clock, go to, like, 11:30, and every slot would be filled up by, like, 8:15. Like, it was getting crazy. And that's a long time to go through a lot of people.
Right.
So I sat down, I did the math. I'm like, okay, most I can get through is this many people. If I do two 30-person ticketed shows in the ballroom, we can get through just as many people, if not more. And if I sell I basically sold it to the Maxwell as like, oh, if I do, because the owners had changed hands, and the new owners actually, I got along with the original owner great. I get along with the new owners even better.
Okay.
They have a background in booking entertainment and stuff for colleges. So they were just like down.
Yeah.
When they heard that their mansion came with a mind reader, so
they're like, "Score, come on!"
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mind reader mansion, sweet.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I finally, but I mean, I was busy with all these other events. So a couple summers ago, we were just like, "How about we do something on like a Tuesday in the summer?" Because you know I was busy on the weekends and everything. Right. Fool Us had just aired, and we sold out like all the shows that summer.
Wow.
And we switched to Fridays in the winter months. And this year we're doing our first run of Halloween shows there. We'll be there every Friday in October, including the 31st, which is a Friday.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a Friday this year. That's awesome. Yeah. Oh my God, that's so exciting. So being at Maxwell Mansion now, I know you said you even teased a little bit about it a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Spooky story. Have you experienced anything crazy there since you've been there? I mean, a whole decade.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So first off, I'll start with this. So we're in the main ballroom, and almost all the, like, it's weird. It's only when, like, myself or my host, who is also, she's more sensitive to, like, ghosts and spirits and so forth. I'm slightly more intuitive and empathic. She's more, like, can see the unseen.
Okay.
And so when one of our emotions is, like, kind of high, the chandelier will flicker and shake, even though no one's upstairs.
Wow.
Which is kind of nuts. So, quick background, Dr. Philip Maxwell was a physician in Chicago. He's actually the one Maxwell Street is named after in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
And right when he was planning on retiring, the Lake Geneva, Wisconsin area was becoming, like, the place to retire. The place that was, you know, out of the way enough distance from, like, Rockford, Milwaukee, and Chicago. Because they were all, like, the same at that point. You know, they were almost, you know. All that stuff. So this was just like a nice way that was out of the way from them all, but also kind of equal distance. He was a known, he was known as a very pleasant guy. He was known as what we'd call a partier. He liked to get drunk and ride his horse into town and, sing while riding his horse. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, you know, the legend has gone that, and this house was built in like 1865, and I think he passed away in like 68 or 69. I'd have to double check those years.
Okay.
But yeah, like the latter part of the 1860s is when he bought, built, and passed away at the mansion. So there was all these, like, there was all this talk of he did surgeries downstairs in the basement, which is now where the speakeasy is.
Okay.
Which is right above the ballroom.
I was going to say, where are you performing? Yeah,
right over that.
Okay.
So I talked with a friend of mine, Rita. She runs the Lake Geneva Ghost Tour.
Okay.
And their last stop on their tour is the Maxwell Mansion. They literally stop there because it's the most haunted location in the area. Like,
right.
You can't find anything else to top it. The legend of the sea serpent in the actual lake.
All right, now we're taking a dive.
we're gonna take a dive now. Can't top some of the stories here. And so he did a lot of I totally stole this line from Ghostbusters. I say unnecessary surgeries. Because I mean, I'm taking a little bit of artistic liberty with that because it was the 1860s. I can't imagine every surgery was necessary at the time.
Yeah.
I can't imagine all of his medical training and theories were 100% spot on, would hold up to modern medical practice.
Yeah, or
but also
for sure. Yeah.
So people talked about how he, you know, would treat people down there. And in my head, like, it wasn't until like last year I finally connected. Wait, he retired up here. So he was like, So I'm like, oh, this explains why there's no records. No way. He was just the cool guy. And if like you broke your arm falling off your horse or something, like, hey, go see Dr. Maxwell.
You want me to try something cool?
go down to the basement. So, all that said, my personal belief and theory when it comes to the actual hauntings, I'm much more in the, for lack of a better term, emotional energy, like,
okay,
vibes of a place rather than like someone died and now their soul is trapped there.
Right, necessarily. Right.
I also tend to subscribe more to the quantum mechanics stuff of getting glimpses of the future and the past. Again, it's not so much you're seeing the spirits. That's just when these times are crossing each other in the metaphysical plane.
Right.
From as much as I've read, that's how I've come to understand it. And what I think may be going on. My hope is that in 100 years, when someone's listening back to this podcast, they go, "What idiots! Didn't they know we ascended to the celestial plane where the aliens who made us just took our consciousness and put it in a new body there, and we all came down for the great rep? Oh, what an idiot!" But just like how Edison was working on a device to communicate with spirits after the radio was invented,
right?
Like, that's not a huge leap,
right?
It's for that true. Era. Yeah. We think about it now, of like, what, radio waves? He thought that's not a big leap for him. Yeah. So I'm all for, we're always learning and all that stuff. And I hope, you know, I'm wrong. This is, again, if it were scientifically backable, it would cease to be para and just be normal. That's why I like the paranormal.
Paranormal. So, yes. I love that.
So all that said, I cannot, there've been a lot of different sightings, for lack of a better term, in the Maxwell. The only real consistency has been in the speakeasy, in the ballroom, and in the Grant suite, which is right above. So all like,
oh, they're all like stacked on each floor.
They're all stacked. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So like little, some people say they've seen a little boy up by the Grant suite, maybe going by the stairs. I'll tell you what happened to me in the ballroom in a moment. So again, I'm teasing it out.
Oh my God. I'm so, you're going to be
and
so
then the
spooked.
And then the actual speakeasy, there's a drain down there, which is still like really dark, rusty red. And apparently it's not paint. I can't imagine that's allowable health code for the city, but no one knows for sure.
The city's like, oh, it's 180 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, it's a speakeasy now. We just let people hang out. There's a bar. It's really cool down there. There's a bookcase that opens that you can walk through.
Awesome.
And
they're like, leave the
there's
drain.
A secret passageway to upstairs and all that. So yeah, it does have a really cool, it does have a really cool vibe. Like, I don't want anyone to be like, oh, I can't. I'm always a little like annoyed when people are like, oh, I don't want to go there. I don't want anything to come back with me. And I just want to be like, okay, you think you're so interesting that whatever's been here for 150, 200 plus years is going to go.
It's just going to be like,
oh, never mind. I'm going home with you. I've been talking to you for 5 minutes and I can't wait for this to be over. I
feel like, haunted mansion.
Yes, you're not that interesting. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, again, people who like do feel like positive, negative stuff and everything, I get that you don't want to bring that like negativity home.
Right.
You know, and again, this is my own personal beliefs of what I've seen and experienced. And I'm always up, and that's the other thing. I'm always open to hearing all other people's too. So
yeah, I mean, everybody has their own type of rendition of this type of energy.
We're all
in the paranormal.
Yeah. We're all, and I think the idea is to, again, like we're doing, share, explore and like listen to each other's stories, and that's actually real quick, that's kind of the theme of the current Psychic Parlor show is the world is not made of atoms, it's made of stories.
That's true.
The stories
I love that.
We tell ourselves, it's what connects us, and mind reading is about, you know, connecting our thoughts, our emotions, and that's kind of the overarching theme of the show. And then different stories, without spoiling it, connect throughout the show. So anyway, so if various people of different ages and different backgrounds came to Dr. Maxwell, even if they all like lived, it probably wasn't a pleasant experience.
Right.
So who knows what is hanging in the air. I call it the argument funk. When you walk into a room and you can just tell the couple in there was arguing earlier. And
oh my
even
God.
When one of them leaves the room, somehow it becomes heavier.
Heavier, you know? Yes.
That's That's kind of how I that's kind of how I feel with this type of stuff. Wow. And they've even done, you know, studies of this where it's like, hey, you want a free sweater? Someone who had it used to belong to someone who had cancer who just passed away.
Yeah, they're like,
oh. Then they're like, oh, well, they didn't die in it or anything. It's just like, it's just there's something in our DNA that's that's ingrained in that stuff. So that's kind of my working theory is even if like one or two people died, there's been enough people who came through there for that particular reason. Right. It's also why there wouldn't be any record. Again, there was barely any records at all. It was one of the first buildings built in the town. Like I think it was done before the bank, if I remember correctly. It was done before like some like public office building. So yeah, so that's my working theory for what's going on there.
Okay,
here's what happened to me.
I'm so scared now.
2020
said all that. Okay, 2020.
In 2020, I don't know if you watched the news back then, but let's just say in May of that year for my wife's birthday, we were supposed to go on a trip, but it didn't happen. Okay. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I wonder what it was,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the owners said, well, hey, no one's here if you want to come here for like a weekend getaway for her birthday,
awesome.
It's like, and you can stay in the grand suite, and we're like, yeah, heck yeah, you know,
right?
Gives me a chance to finally stay there, and like, you know, and again, on paper, sounds great. Again, on paper, here, come back behind the bar because we can't serve this alcohol that's already opened, so and we can't keep it, a lot of it for much longer. Not necessarily the alcohol, but like the garnishes and like that stuff. So I taught myself how to make an old fashioned and all that. And,
oh, a little mixology course.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And then night comes and there's no one, no other staff, no one else staying there. Like,
just you two?
Yeah. So it's there was definitely this moment of like,
silence.
Oh, shit. This is the quietest this house has been in probably decades.
Wow.
Because people have been, because they converted the carriage houses into rooms. Wow. People have been staying on property there for decades, nonstop.
Right.
So, okay, first night, fine. We have a good time. We wake up in the morning, DoorDash some breakfast that gets left on the front front step, all that. We go for a walk, have a great day. That night, she goes to bed upstairs. I make myself a drink. I'm sitting next to the fireplace in the ballroom where we do the shows now.
Great.
And the ballroom is surrounded with mirrors. Like there's a mirror over the fireplace, half the wall. It's like window mirror. And I finish my book, finish my last drink, stand up and look in the mirror. And over my left shoulder, there's someone standing.
You're joking.
Nope.
So I turn around to see who it is, and no one is there.
Stop. I just got
you. I turn back and look in the mirror. No one is there.
No. This has given me The Shining.
Oh.
Now, full disclosure.
Yes, please.
Again, I counted. I had 5 old fashions that night.
Okay. I was about to say.
And remember, I made them myself.
Yes.
And I'm still not 100% sure I know how to make an old fashioned. So and they were free. So I maybe made them a little stronger than you're supposed to.
Yeah.
So the line I always say, and you know, where I say to people, make up your own mind, whether it was the spirits or the spirits.
Or the spirits.
One or the other.
Yes.
Yeah. So, so it's, I couldn't tell if it was like a man, maybe Lindsay came, like, you know, I'm just sitting there. Like, I'm like, you know, I just stand up. You're like, oh, and like, I didn't even process like it startled me, but I was just like, oh, who is it? Like, I'm turning around to see who it is. Cause it just, you know, I was the owner who came back.
How were you feeling?
Yeah.
How were you feeling when that happened?
I was feeling good. I mean, good
because of the five old fashions.
I feel good too. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt wonderful, especially at that time. Like, think of how good you felt in early May of 2020.
Yeah.
Think about, you're finally out of the house. You have this giant old mansion yourself, and you've made five old fashions. You'd feel pretty good too.
That'd be pretty good. Yes. Yeah.
So even, you know what, like those things on TikTok where it's like, oh, but the place is haunted. Oh, but it's such a deal. Like, who cares about the creepy girl in the corner? Like, come on. Like,
okay. Like, I've seen the, what is it when they do the audio where it's like, oh, rent is cheap. And like, they're like, come in here. Hello. And they're like, I don't care. Rent is like $900. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Haunted or not, exactly. I don't care. Oh my God, that's crazy.
Exactly.
Did your wife experience anything?
No, no.
Wow,
she likes to think it was the drinking spirits,
the drinkies.
She's the more grounded, like I hate to say like realistic or skeptical one, but like,
but more like everything has a reason kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm the spiritual emotional hippie in the relationship. The way she put it, she's like, well, Joe, it's not so much that you're psychic, you're just a straight white guy with empathy.
I love your wife. She cracks me up.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love her too. You can't cover. you can hang out if you come visit,
fine.
She's her own person. She's not mine to, I can't keep her from the world. That's why I share these stories with her. She's hilarious. And again, like another good example is like, we both love murder mysteries and both love, like, you know, but she loves spoilers. Like, she will read spoilers for a movie before going to see it. And I'm very much like,
you're like, I want to do nothing. Yeah.
There have been a few times in my life where it's like, and also like for like, just for example, like Marvel movies, it's impossible to know what's actually going to happen, what's just made up now. If you do come across it, it's not like, you know, I'm not too worried. I'm more looking for just what people are, you know, generally saying about it.
Right.
Everyone has their fancy football hobby. Mine is box office stats and movie reviews and all that stuff. So, we like it. We like the same things, but for different reasons. Is kind of the best way to put it. So.
Oh, I love that so much. That's so cool. I mean, I can't even believe. I don't even know what I would have done if I was, I mean, honestly, if I'm five drinks in, I'd be like, what's up? Who wants the party? It's just me and you.
Yeah. And again, like in my head, it was all in slow motion, but again, who knows if there was a camera in the room, who knows how I was actually moving? It could have been as quick as this, you know?
Right.
Like,
Have you experienced anything while you are performing by chance? I know you had mentioned earlier in the last call that we had about certain things, like sometimes the light will flicker and you're like,
the lights will flicker a lot. So there are moments that I leave open for things to happen. Just for example, this is a very basic comedy gag. It's barely a comedy gag, but I'll ask someone, you know, your first name is, you know, let's say they say Allie, and then I say to someone else, and what's your first name? And, you know, if they say Sarah, I go, oh man, if it was Allie, I would have ended the show right there. And if they say Allie, I go, good night. You know, so that's a joking way to put it, but there are ways to put that in so that I have the most likely occurrence to happen.
Okay.
So another example is stage hypnotists, they won't just bring up anyone. They'll do a test with the whole audience where, you know, imagine, you know, your hands are magnets and they're pulling your hands together, and they'll do this, and the people who respond best to that, they'll get like the 20 people who responded best to that on stage.
Right.
And then as they do these further tests, they'll get rid of you know, like, two, right. four, five, maybe even as much as 10, but that gives them 10 great people that are going to do a great show.
Right.
Yeah.
I use a similar structure with my work. So I'll do something similar where I have them imagine the ghosts are pushing their fingertips together who's to see who's the most open. And then I get some people from that and you give them pendulums to use.
Okay.
And I'll see who works with their pendulum the best, you know, in that moment. Yes, anyone can learn to use a pendulum in right. a show. We do have to keep things moving, you know.
Right.
I don't want to be stuck with necessarily yeah. one person. So I will, you know, do that with several people so that when I have, you know, those five people for that next thing we're doing, I know right. they're the most open to this and that kind of thing. One time I did that, the four people left on stage, all Geminis.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, so that was strange.
Little, like, strange. Yeah,
that was very strange.
Really strange.
One time, so in my shows, I'll have someone think of someone. Imagine you're calling them on the phone.
Yeah,
and it rings, and then you say you think, "Hi, Tom," and they, you know, they go, "Oh my gosh!" Well, I did that once, and the phone rings, and I say, "You say hi, Tom." By the way, that's a phrasing that mind readers have used going back to the 30s, actually.
Wow.
So that was passed down to me by one of my mentors who's been doing mind reading psychic entertainment shows for forever. And so I just say, I imagine it's a cell phone. His mentor had people hold, you know, the receiver here and the earpiece okay. here on the imaginary phone.
I love that.
Yeah. So one time I did that, I got the name. Well, first I said, imagine it rings, and all of a sudden their phone started ringing. They forgot to turn it off. And I okay. went, see if it's Tom, as in like, cause in my head, like the performer part of my mind, I was like, I've got it. I'm gonna,
yeah,
you know,
you're
I'm just
throw
gonna
it
throw
there.
It out here
you're
at this point.
It. Yeah.
And that's the other thing. If you throw it out there that bluntly, if it's wrong, you're able to kind of like, if it was Tom and they go, and I go like, yeah, Tom, Tim, something like that. You know, that kind of gives me another,
yeah.
for lack right. of a better term, swing of the bat.
Yeah.
If I'm close, so that's a way I can make a, where I'm only close seem like I'm more, you know,
right.
Exact. But they looked at their phone and it was Tom calling.
Wow. I would have freaked out.
I don't know if they were named Tom. I'm just using your name as
yeah, yeah, of course.
I this was so long ago, I couldn't tell you the actual name. It wasn't, I can tell you this much. It wasn't a name like Tom or Joe. It was like maybe like an Erica or something, or okay. You know,
but
maybe
something not as common,
you know, something along this.
Yeah.
Something that isn't as common, but yeah, but it was, you know, that person, even then, like it's that
right.
person they're thinking of and they're actually calling. So, you know, that's been,
they probably,
hilarious when
that person
happens.
Who ended up leaving probably has been talking about this story the rest.
Oh yeah.
Of the time.
Well, that's the thing. Like one part of me, like that's kind of why I developed more material, because two reasons. Number one, I learned what people want the most out of it is surprise.
Right.
They want to have that feeling of surprise. So coming up with new ways to surprise people when they've already seen me is a little hard, because
right.
you can kind of like what's happening with a lot of, don't come at me, people, cinematic universes. I like them. I love them, in fact. I like more of them than I don't. But you can start to see the framework after a while.
Yes.
And you also don't want, like, let's say, another celestial battle universe where you're just doing the opposite for the sake of things.
For the sake of things, right.
Yeah, for
it's
the sake
make
of just
sense.
Being contrary.
Yeah.
You gotta do that, you know, so.
Right.
So yeah, so it's, so I do try to find ways to, again,
incorporate that.
Even when people have seen it before, they still, we all still don't know how their friends are going to react and everything else.
Right.
Yeah, the biggest one that's happened, when I was doing, so Orson Welles performed at the Woodstock Opera House when he was a teenager. It was the first stage he performed on and directed in. In fact, they even have a plaque. They dedicated it to Orson Welles after he passed. It's the Orson Welles stage at the Woodstock
Opera House. That's cool. That's awesome.
And he passed away in like October of the year he passed. I can't remember the exact date. But so the hook for last year's Halloween show was we did the Orson Welles seance in the second half. Okay. I just did my standard mind reading show for the first half.
Okay.
After intermission, we came back the second half, or the second act. It was only like, first half was about 50 minutes. The second act was about 30. Was the Orson Welles seance. And I had a whole structure planned for what's going to happen. I do leave things open to happen. Sometimes people feel something or jump. Sometimes they, you know, all that stuff. One of the chairs on stage just straight up moved.
You're lying. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Like it just went, and I look, I'm like,
stop. Did everybody else
like it just
that?
Happened on my corner? Well, some people says, cause we were all focusing on what was happening on this side of the stage. I had a row of chairs that people would come up. They had all left. It was now just me and one person almost on the other side of the stage. But what was beautiful for that for me is like, there were people like afterwards going, no, that didn't move. It was like that. Someone kicked it when they got up. And some people were like, no, I saw it. Or some people were like, no, I looked over and it had happened. And like, there was just, it just created this whole other thing that I could have never planned.
Yeah. You can't even see coming either.
So,
tell
so
us
yeah.
the truth,
so it's,
Joe, you're a Jedi. Yeah.
You're a Jedi.
Okay. I would be using my Jedi powers in, sure, maybe the one of the more creative ways, but definitely not the most useful ways. Like I would
it's
use
like it's like when they say, if I was a millionaire, you'll know. Like you'll know if I was a Jedi, you'll know.
Well,
you'll be signed.
Well, so again, as we said before, you know, I do genuinely believe, you know, the best way to predict the future is to create it.
Right.
I've done some, you know, with tarot, and I've done some crystal ball work, and I have made some predictions, some that have paid off, some that haven't. I've got some of those videos on my YouTube if anyone wants to look at them and see my track record. It is far from 100%. I will say that much. I'm fairly happy with how it's gone. Not enough for me to like do it regularly in my shows.
Right.
But that said, if one more person comes up to me asking me for the lottery numbers, I swear I'm gonna say to them, okay, sure, it's 5, 17. Oh no. You're not gonna do good things with this money. I can't in good conscience give you these numbers. No.
I love that. That's an even better answer. I love that though. Even better. So, then their whole
another
their
one of my mentors who passed away, he would give out fortune cookies at the end of his shows. He'd say there's fortunes and the lucky numbers. I promise the lucky numbers are 100% guaranteed lottery numbers. I just don't know which state they're good for or what decade.
That's awesome.
Hey, at least he's helping you out. He's throwing a line.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He's throwing a line there. That's so funny. Yeah. I love that. I love that. So seeing as you do these tricks and you do your performances, do you want to do some on us and then the listeners?
The way you said that with your voice, Allie, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was very attractive. I mean, I'm just going to be very honest.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm going to be very, very honest.
Joe, Joe
Diamond.
Joe.
My wife listens to this and ever does that to me in bed. I am texting you both like, you've created a monster.
No, please do so.
Yes, of course I'll do so. We'll start with something with kind of like what I was talking about before that I use to kind of warm up with the audience. I'll do something with both of you and the listeners can follow along with this too.
Yay!
Now, if listeners are in their car or anything, they don't have to stop. They don't have to pause or anything. They can just follow along best they can. Obviously, if you're doing something like riding a bike or exercising, don't, and I say in a moment, close your eyes, maybe skip that part, but you know, but for you two, so here's what's going to happen. Okay. I'm going to think of a memory from my past. I'm going to look into my camera here on Zoom. I'll project it through the internet and we'll see how many of these psychic transmissions each of you get, okay?
Okay.
Now, a couple of rules. Number one, don't shout your answers out loud, even though it's going to kind of feel like dead time since we're on a podcast. But I don't want your answers to influence the people listening.
Okay.
And also don't think about it too much. Go with whatever comes to you naturally. a big part of the secret of this is intuition is just knowing without knowing and just trusting your gut. So let's start simple. Everyone take a deep breath and exhale. Very good. Take another deep breath. And as you exhale, get in your mind a number from 1 to 10. Lock it in your mind. Don't change it. Remember that number. We'll do it again. Again, I'll keep it simple. Take another deep breath. And as you exhale, get in your mind a direction on a compass. Lock it in your mind. Don't change it. Remember that direction. All right, this last one's going to be the most difficult. This time, I want you to think of two simple geometric shapes, one inside the other, like a square inside of a rectangle. Don't pick those, though. I just said them. Take one more deep breath and exhale. Remember those two shapes. All right, I'm curious to see how you both did. By the way, for listeners too, if they want to comment on like the Macabre Mondays Instagram or After Diamond Live on Instagram or anything like that, let us know if you got any of these.
Yes, I'm dying to know.
So, because I'm always curious with this type of stuff. So, I was thinking of a pretty common memory. I was thinking of my first day of college once I was out of the Baptist school and in like a real school with other people, no uniform, and I couldn't find geometry class. So I asked someone where it was, and they said it was on the north side of the building. So if you got north, we'll count it for now.
Okay.
By the looks on your faces, I think you both got it. I think that's good. When I got to the classroom, I noticed there were 7 students in total. And when I looked at the chalkboard, the teacher had drawn a circle and a triangle. So how many did you get, Allie?
Okay, so can I say it out loud?
Yeah, you can say that.
Before I end up ruining it.
No. That's everything I was transmitting. I'm curious.
North, north and triangle circle.
You got those? Okay, how about you, Tom?
You got all of them.
You got all of them? Perfect.
I even wrote them
awesome.
Down.
Oh, perfect. Even better. Perfect. So again, that's, and now I knew this would likely work with the two of you and everything else. Doing this in a big audience is always fun because, you know, right off the bat, when more than 25% of people's hands go up, it's kind of like, okay, there's something here now.
Right.
Of course, this is much more psychological than it is psychic. But it does kind of illustrate what I'm looking for, which is people to just go with what comes to them. The people who like overthink this are the ones who get it wrong. These are the people who think about what they're going to think about.
Right.
Like when I say think of two simple geometric objects, these are the ones who thought of a star inside of a dodecahedron. they're really good at generating ideas. But they're not always the most open to other people's ideas.
Right.
And that's okay. We need all of it to survive as a culture, and especially in a show like mine. So this worked with all of these worked with you, Tom. So I'm going to do this with you. You have a pen and paper. do you have a smartphone with a calculator nearby just in case you need it for in a moment?
Yes.
Oh, thank God a smartphone because he just had a flip phone. No, I'm joking.
Okay. No, that's okay. Well, I love doing this because like, of course, you know, even though I went to a Baptist school, there was still that teacher who was like, well, you got to learn math. You're not going to have a calculator with you everywhere you go. You're not going to have a calculator. It's like, I would be mad and confront them on Facebook if there wasn't way more bigger issues.
Yes.
So I love the idea of alternate realities, parallel dimensions, like the idea of, you know, the multiverse is big in movies now. But in all seriousness, like the idea that somewhere out there or maybe just on the other side of our reality is a universe just like ours, but a little different. I like to think of one that's like just like ours, but a little, but the opposite. Everything's like kind of flipped. Like, just for example, you know, maybe we're still on a podcast, but it's my podcast. I'm interviewing the two of you.
Right.
Maybe in this alternate universe, when you go out to eat, you sit at a giant piece of chewed up gum and there's a little table stuck underneath. maybe there's that. You know?
I love it. Okay.
In that opposite universe, you do the laundry and you gain a sock instead of losing one. Right.
Ooh, this is a nice one.
In that parallel universe, when you go up to the crosswalk and hit the button in that universe, it actually does something. So just like ours, just the opposite, just a little different.
It's a little different.
Okay. We're going to try to get in touch with your doppelganger. Tom, and see if we can kind of intermingle your two minds, okay?
Love it.
So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. On your piece of paper, you're going to write down a three-digit number. Now, don't do 1111 for reasons which will be important in a moment. Make them like three different digits, and preferably no zeros. Again, if there a zero comes up at some point, we can deal with it, but it's going to make what we do in a moment easier and clearer if you don't. Got it?
Okay, got it.
Now, I genuinely have no idea what number you chose. But if we're taking this thought process to another level, the opposite version of you would have written down those same three digits, but reversed. Like, if let's just say if you wrote down 1, 2, 3, they wrote down 3, 2, 1. So I want you to now reverse those numbers, okay? Which means the other you would reverse their numbers, and they would be looking at the same numbers in front of you. For maybe the first time in both your lives, both of you are in complete sync right now, Tom. That's kind of cool to think about, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, like I said, we're going to do the opposite. So which are you more comfortable with, adding or subtracting?
Adding.
Okay, so we're going to have to do the opposite. We're going to subtract. I want you to subtract the smaller number from the bigger number. Otherwise, we're going to get a negative. This is where you can use the calculator if you want. If you get into the negative, that's fine, but you know, again, it just makes it less confusing if you okay. do it the standard way. So now you have a number that you couldn't have predicted and your doppelganger couldn't have predicted, right? And they would have added them, so they're off on their track and we're back to our reality. So now that your mind was kind of intertwined with theirs for a moment, I'm gonna try to intertwine it with you. Now the final total you got, the difference, is it still a three-digit number or did we get down to a two-digit number?
Still three digits.
Perfect, okay. Just look at that first digit for me. And everyone can follow along. You can follow along with me as well for this, Allie. I'm going to I'm going to...
Oh God, he's going to write it. Oh God, I'm so scared.
Well, I'll do this. I'll do this. Actually, just count out loud from 1 to 9. I won't write it. I'll actually see if I can just say it. Just count out loud from 1 to 9, but think of that first digit. Try not to like give it away with the tone of your voice or anything.
Okay.
I'm just going to try and trust my intuition while I hear it. So just count from 1 to 9 for me as you think of that first digit. I'm ready when you are.
1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, and I closed my eyes during that, so I kind of experienced this just like the listeners. Not gonna lie, I did have a little bit of trouble, I think. I'm gonna go for it rather than have you count a few more times. I'm just gonna see if I can do this once. I'll say the first digit's a 2.
No.
Okay, thank you for your honesty, but that's okay, that's okay. There's not a 2 in the number, is there?
No.
Okay, there's not a 2 at all, especially not the first digit. Okay, I'll accept defeat on that first digit. What's the first digit? You can tell us. Don't tell me the
it's
whole
a
number.
One.
What's the?
It's a 1.
It's a 1. Okay.
So close.
I was very close. I was literally only off by 1. Okay. Because here's the thing, I'll be honest, the three numbers I was picking up was 298. Is it 198?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yes, okay, all right. Whew.
That's so crazy. Wow, you know? How you do that? You know? Like, is there a cheat sheet? No. Is there a mind?
I wish. Yeah. No, maybe someone out there, you know, maybe probably they're your other doppelganger would get us the same outcome, but like, you know, not everyone, of course. Get enough people, so cool. You know, you'll get the same thing. But yeah, so I wish there was a cheat sheet. It would make this work like, so I'd be much easier. That.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so Allie, this I will write down. I want you to think of one of the first people you can remember having a crush on.
A crush on.
Wow. Yeah, you know.
Now I'm gonna let you off the hook here. first off, obviously. You know, your first initial is A, but what's your second initial?
Can I say it out loud?
Yeah.
Okay. G.
Okay, AG. Okay. Because what I want you to do in a moment, I want you to imagine you go up to like a tree and like carve your initials into the tree, like in the center of a heart kind of thing.
Okay.
So, but not yet, not yet. So I'm just, because I'm going to actually write a heart here. Okay. Now, a couple other things too is, so do you have, now I'm just going to ask you to think of this person's initials. So okay. If it was super personal, it's fine. If you don't want me to try and guess that, you can think of like your first like celebrity crush or something like that. Okay.
Well, if we're doing initials, I could do initials. Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. So think of, and here, I'm actually going to back up a little bit. So that way the, I can keep this up in frame because, again, I don't want you to think I'm just doing this out of frame.
I could never
write down and keep the notepad up, notepad up here. So you're thinking of the initials, yes?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I want you to imagine in your mind, actually hold your finger out like this for me, and just imagine that's the point of a knife, and you're going to carve a heart into an imaginary tree in the air in front of you. So go ahead, do that, yeah. And now write your initials kind of in the center of that heart and then do a little plus sign, okay? And now don't move your finger.
Okay.
Keep it right there. Just think of these initials. Don't react. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, Z. Keep thinking of the initials, ZYXWVUT, SRQP, ONML, KJ, IHG, FED, CBA. Okay, you were thinking of the initials, Allie, but Tom was just like, oh my God, you can actually do that backwards.
literally.
Okay, I think I got it. Both initials are different, right? It's different letters, yes? Yeah. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to say both of them are consonants, yes?
Oh damn! I forgot what that is, but I think so. Yes.
neither is an A and I.
Oh yes,
A, E, I, O,
correct,
or U,
correct.
Or sometimes Y. They're all consonants. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think. Okay. If that's the case, then I'm gonna commit for sure. I'll write this down.
It's not a consonant. Okay. Is what I'm saying, right? We're on the same page on that.
So yeah. I think yeah. Okay. Yeah. So okay. Like they're not both consonants. Is what?
Yeah.
I was,
they're not. They're not. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Because if they were both. Like for you, one's a consonant, one's a vowel.
What's a vowel? Yeah.
Yes. Okay. For the first time, you can put your finger down now. Thank you.
Thank God.
You can tell us. What was the initials of this person?
JM.
There was a little bit of a lag. J what?
JM.
JM. Has it been a while since you thought of JM?
Yeah, very long time.
Yeah. So there's no way I could have looked this up on Facebook.
No,
or anything,
like this that is like first crush ever. Oh,
that's exactly
God,
what I wrote.
Are you kidding me? Joe, are you kidding? Joe. Stop.
Damn.
Oh my God, I have goosies. I can't.
That is
insane.
Wild.
Hold on. Screenshot that.
Yeah, I'll do. Yes, absolutely.
I love it. Oh.
I'll also take a photo of this and send it over to you as well. For the audio only listeners, I got it right.
He got it right.
I got a heart. I wrote her initials in, and then the initials JM. Wrote Macabre Mondays at the top.
So
yeah, I'll send that to you on Instagram when we're done, and we can share that with
you. Joe.
Thank you. Yes,
that is awesome.
So yeah, that's
Wow, I love that. That was so good. I'm just,
thank
I
you.
Love a
thank
good.
You.
I just, oh, you're so talented.
Good mystery.
I love it.
Good mystery.
Yeah,
she's gonna be
mystery.
Talking about this the rest of the day.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh, I'm.
You're,
thank you.
This, 10
you.
Years from now, I'll be like, remember the Joe?
No, she will be like that. Remember Joe?
No, that's my goal.
Everyone
my goal
that we've
is
ever met.
Yeah, have it, and that's the other thing too. It is one of those things where, again, you can't experience it
right
in 5 seconds scrolling through TikTok. It is something you have to actively engage with
yes.
and be a part of. We can with technology and all the
right.
stuff, and again, what we did already and what we're going to do. Okay, we're going to do something else. I'm going to do something else with the two of you. This is more. So, first of all, I don't want to fully take over all that. And if you need to cut this part, you can. How are we doing on time? Do you need to?
Where are we at?
Do you need to wrap at a certain time, or
no need to wrap at any time? So
okay, okay.
If you want to do this, okay. And then we'll do the listener stuff, and then
yeah. Well, actually, this is something that the listeners can follow along with as well.
Ooh, perfect.
Sweet. which is pretty fun. So it's kind of we're gonna do two sort of guided visualizations.
Okay.
One of these has kind of a mind reader vibe to it. The other is more of a ritual vibe.
Okay.
A positive ritual. So yeah, so all good vibes. So again, if you want to close your eyes, you can. People listening, you can listen to this as well. Otherwise, if you're just driving or something, just listen to what I'm saying. I do have a list here that I want to make sure I get right. So, okay. So I want you to imagine that you are entering a place of happiness, like a sort of secret garden, a type of hidden paradise. Okay.
Okay.
And as you enter it, I would like the two of you to close your eyes. For this.
Okay.
So imagine you enter that that paradise, and you come up to the gate, the front gate of it, and a beam of light comes out of the sky, and there's a virtue, a positive aspect to your life that is in that beam of light. So I'm going to, and you might have trouble thinking of one, so I'm going to read off a list of some virtues here. You don't have to remember them all, just remember one. Same thing with the listeners, remember one of these virtues. Strength, tolerance, bravery, wisdom, youth, sensitivity, tenacity, wit, balance, and sincerity. You should have a trait, a virtue in mind. Each of you can nod your heads or say yes, that you've got one from that list, and the listener should have one as well. So you arrive at the gates, and the beam of light gives you the key to enter this this secret garden. And you see the head of the key is the first letter of your word that you chose.
Okay.
So you take that letter and you enter. And in the center of the garden, you see a tree you've never seen before, because on every branch is a different fruit. Okay.
Okay.
And the letter you have on your key will be in the name of some of the fruits I'm about to name in a moment. Now, listen carefully, because your letter may be in the middle, it may be at the end, or it may start with that letter. It could be anywhere in the word, okay? Your job is to find your letter in the first one or two fruits that you can, okay?
Okay.
So here we go. The fruits are apple, peach, strawberry, lime, orange, plum, grape, pear, lemon, pineapple. Did you each get at least one fruit?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Perfect. Open your eyes and imagine you reach out and you pluck that fruit off the tree and you take a bite. And if you've all done this correctly, you can all imagine you're taking a bite of the same sweet strawberry.
I don't get it. How?
And not only did that sync up with both of you, it should have synced up with all the listeners as well. So even when they hear the recording of this, they'll still be able to message in and let us know.
Oh my God.
If they got the strawberry. Spoiler alert, if you got any other fruit, that means you're not a very good listener. You should maybe try again. If you got strawberry, it means you're a good listener and you'll have no trouble entering paradise.
Yay, wow. That's awesome. Oh my God, that is so cool. It's such like a mind fuck. I don't know what it is. Yeah. Like, when you tell me the answer, exactly. I'm like, what? Like I'm like hyper.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, and like that, and that's the thing too. It's like the answer, the mystery is more important than the answer. My there was a gentleman named Eugene Berger who really he used to teach religion and philosophy at like Moody and everything way back in the day. But he eventually got it. He left it behind. He said, when am I going to stop following other people's dreams and follow my own? Oh. And so he started doing work as like a magician before like really high-end corporate and cocktail parties on the upper north shore of Chicago.
Okay.
And he did like really weird mystical stuff. Like he would burn a piece of sewing thread into several pieces, roll them up and put them all back together while talking about Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, the creation and destruction of the universe from mythology and all that. So yeah, so he was an out there guy. I loved him. And he was one of my mentors growing up before he passed. And one of the things he said is problems are meant to be solved and mysteries are meant to be experienced.
Oh.
If we woke up tomorrow and every problem in the world was solved, we could drink all the water, everyone was saying please and thank you, all of it solved, there would still be mystery.
Right.
And that's it's our job to deliver and
to keep doing
and give
it.
To people. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, so, I love that so much.
So yeah. So, and I say that too, because like there are times, and we talked about it as well last time, Tom, before we recorded, like there are times I will be completely open. Like I will full on teach some things, you know, some mind reading techniques, some more traditional magic techniques, memory techniques, just, you know, that's part of who I am as a person. As an artist, in the shows, in my work, and even to a certain extent now,
right?
I want there to be, again, some mystery of where all of that is.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, but at the same time, I want to be, again, I want to be as honest as possible.
Right.
I don't feel like
and
this
genuine.
Yes, I don't feel like this comes from a place of, oh, trying to convince anyone. Like, again, another line in my shows is I say, no, this isn't church. You don't have to believe a single word I say. we're just having fun. It's all right. It's all right. But again, that allows me to combine, you know, actual symbolism and,
for
lack of a better term, spirituality into my practice.
Oh, I love that so much. That's awesome.
So yeah, so ready for the last visualization?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Now this is just a ritual. I'm not gonna, because in a moment I'm gonna ask you to think of some things.
Okay.
Don't worry. I'm not gonna ask you about what they are. I'm not gonna ask you to share them or anything like that. And everyone listening can follow along with this as well.
Okay.
But I just want to point that out, that this is not gonna be mind reading. This is something a little more, even a little more personal. It's more of a way to connect, not with me, but with yourself.
I love that.
So, again, it's not really a trick. It's something that's more akin to an artistic ritual designed to unlock something meaningful for you and all the listeners.
Okay.
One final mini disclaimer before we start. This is not a replacement for therapy or medicine.
He is not a doctor.
yes. I want to make that clear. That said, I believe that magic, real magic, exists in the space between art and ritual. And science does show that even placebos can work.
Right.
So even if you don't believe in real magic, the next few moments, make believe and engage in ritual. Otherwise, nothing we do for the next few moments will matter. And I need it to matter.
Okay.
So if you're willing, let's begin. Even if you're just listening, actually do this part. Take your left hand, your intuitive hand, place it over your heart, and you can close your eyes if you can for this moment. And you can feel the steady rhythm of your heartbeat. But that's more than just a heartbeat. That's a signal proving that you're alive, you're present, and you're here. Now, I'm going to ask you both to say this out loud, but for the listeners, they can say it out loud or inside their head. Repeat this to yourself. I am ready and willing to accept this experience.
I am ready and willing,
ready and willing to accept
this experience.
Good. You can place your hands down, and I want you to close your eyes and think about the voice of someone you love. Again, everyone do this. It could be someone close. It could be someone who lives far away, someone whose voice feels like home. And inside your mind, hear them say the words, I love you, just inside your mind, and freeze that thought. That voice, it's currently just a flicker of electricity inside your brain. But if you believe in it and really believe in it, it takes shape and becomes real. So right now, ask yourself, where is that thought inside my brain? Don't overthink it. Just take your right index finger and point on your head where that thought is. And keep your finger there. Feel it. It's strange, isn't it, to feel your own thoughts. They live somewhere in your mind. They have weight. They have texture, sometimes even temperature. Let's try another. Put your finger down, and this time picture the face of the person you love. The details, their eyes, the lines around their mouth when they smile, maybe even something you forgot until this moment, like the way they tilt their head when they're trying to understand the weird topic you're talking about. Close your eyes, keep them closed, see it clearly again if you can for the listeners. And now open your eyes and point on your head where that image of the person lives. See that? It's in a different place.
Yeah.
It's a little more subtle for you, Tom, but it's a little higher. But it feels different too. Like some thoughts are soft, some are sharp. Some may glow and some may even sting. I've had thoughts that have felt hot and some that have felt cold. Every thought is different for different people. But now we're gonna go deeper. Because there's likely, I'm going to take a big intuitive leap here for people listening to this podcast in 2025, that there's a negative thought hiding somewhere inside your mind right now. Could be a limitation, a belief about yourself that's held you back. Maybe for years, maybe it's just from this morning. A weight you've been carrying that does not belong to you anymore, and maybe it never did. Don't say it out loud again. But close your eyes if you can and just find that thought. It might be a memory, an experience, maybe just a negative voice in your head that says you're not good enough. That's what I get a lot. And close your eyes and look for it inside your mind. And when you find it, when you feel where that negative thought is, open your eyes and point to that place. It's okay if it's hard to find. Negative thoughts are tricky like that. Interesting. So it looks like you're a little higher, Tom. Ellie, it looks like yours is a little lower. That's okay. Yeah. But yeah, keep your finger there. Keep your finger right there. You'll notice that it feels different than a positive thought. Like yes. It might feel heavier, darker, or warmer, like a tension or a knot just sitting yes. there waiting. But here's the truth. You can move that negative thought. Now that you know where it's hiding, you can even remove it, but only if you give yourself permission. So if you're ready, put your finger where that thought is hiding. Again, for the two of you, it's back there, but for the people listening, it could be anywhere else on their head, maybe somewhere similar. Feel that thought and imagine it's hidden inside your mind, but becomes magnetized to your finger. And then slowly pull the thought, dragging your finger across your brain to the center of your forehead. And if you're ready, pull it forward, slowly pulling it out of your head like a weed from the soil. And you can almost look at it on the tip of your finger. You can almost see it like a tiny speck on your fingertip. And it's not inside you anymore.
Wow.
And when you can see that on your finger, you can just blow it away. And it's gone.
Wow.
Now, for the two of you, we can talk about your experiences. But for the listeners, real quick, again, I'd love to hear them. I know very likely the two of you would love to hear them. But. Yes. You know, maybe some people felt a small pain release, maybe they felt nothing at all, and yet that thought doesn't live inside you anymore.
Yeah.
And if you try to think about it and try to feel the way it once did, you can notice the difference, can't you?
Yes. That's crazy.
And that's And that's the power of your own thoughts. When you believe in it, it becomes real. And when you release it, it becomes nothing. And that is the power you have over your own body.
Oh, Joe. Dr. Joe. No, I'm joking.
Awesome.
That's why we have the theme song. Joe.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Joe Diamond, the mind reader guy.
And I do truly hope this helped you and your listeners. Yes. And if you're, and that's a great thing too. You don't need me for this. When your thoughts get heavy again, you know, you don't have to just remember to think positive.
Right.
You can do this again. That said, you should think positive because you never know when a weirdo like me could be listening.
So true. Oh my God. Oh, Joe, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, where can the listeners find you? Any exciting things that you're working on that they can keep track of? I'm also going to tag you in this episode and do a collab with you. So
please do. Please do. Yes. At Joe Diamond Live on all social media. I am the most active on Instagram, but I do have a Facebook page. Everything I post on Instagram, like Reels, I also post on YouTube Shorts and TikTok. The website joediamondlive.com, I have a mailing list. Same, like I said before, I'll send this out on the mailing list, but that's like the best way to keep in touch with like stuff I've got going on. So if you are going to be in the Midwest, people can come see me at the Maxwell Mansion. Like I said, we're going to be there Fridays in October. We're there the day after Thanksgiving in November, the day after Christmas in December. And then starting in January of 2026, we're back on Fridays, January all the way into April, May, and I'm there for a good long while. So if for like the next like year or two, when people listen, likely the Midwest and beyond. Shameless plug, I do company events too. So if anyone doesn't live in the Midwest, go to my website, send your event planner at work my Penn and Teller appearance and say, hey, we should hire him for our holiday party and then we can hang out in person.
Oh, I love that.
So, so there's that. And then finally, it's even if you don't have big holiday events or company events, and if you never make any plans to the Midwest, still worth subscribing to the mailing list because I have lots of cool stuff. I filmed more stuff with my buddy Brian Brushwood, who I did the Spirit Bottle with for his channel, The Modern Rogue and Scam Nation. I filmed some more stuff with him this summer, and that's going to be coming out very soon. I always have stuff in the works that I'm working on and you know, other stuff to try, not just an experience, not just in person, but you know, virtually as well. So I would love to. And of course, if you heard me on Macabre Mondays, come up and say hi and say so. And yeah, we'll get a selfie and then I'll tag you too.
Yay! Yeah, we'll be there in spirit.
I was gonna say, I know some listeners that have already been to the Stanley Hotel because I went with them. And they live fairly close. Mm-hmm. I would say probably only about 5.5 hours from Lake Geneva.
Okay.
So 100%.
That's nothing in
those
the Midwest.
Two listeners.
From what I've learned.
Take the trip. Get the drive up.
Yeah.
And go stay there.
You're lucky if you can fly within 5.5 hours of some places in the Midwest and then just make that short drive over.
For sure.
Open quotes. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. Thank you for
bringing your
talent.
Thank you, both of you.
We loved it. You're always welcome back on the Macabre Mondays.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Please.
I really appreciate it.
Now, listeners, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share because you never know who else might need a little mystery and macabre in their week. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe, friends. Bye.
See ya.
Joe, you got to say bye. Bye.
I'm thinking it.
Ooh, do you guys feel the thought?